You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's the top of the hour. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you along on this Thursday morning, October 10th. Where are we at now? 26 days until Election Day. It's Thursday, so we will have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Coming up later this hour, we will talk to Jody Habersenikin. She's a state Senate candidate in one of the most closely watched races of the state Senate contests that are going on around Wisconsin. She is challenging incumbent Dewey Strobel, who is in a new district with the new maps. The district is much more evenly split, which is why it is such a unique opportunity for Democratic candidates like Jody. So we'll talk to her and Kate Duffy as well from Motherhood for Good coming up in just a bit. We are minutes away from hearing from Tricia Zunker and talking more about Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day, a powwow coming up in Rothschild this weekend, and a bit more about the holiday itself, which is coming up this Monday. We will be visited by Luke Mathers as well, but first we're visited, as always, this time of the morning by meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us a bit about the weather, which has been quiet and dry and nothing at all like what's in the Sarasota, Florida area, where now it's daylight, and I'm sure we're just starting to appreciate just how bad things got when Hurricane Milton hit there overnight. Brittany, good morning. It's so weird. All these past few days, you've had like the Alpha and Omega. You're telling us what's going on in Florida and then how quiet things are here.
I know. It really makes you grateful, though, for living up north. I'll say yes. That. So Tampa did get spared for the eye and the surge itself. It was actually sucking water out of the bay because the shift of the track moved south. So Sarasota, Venice, Punta Gorda, even 50 miles south into Charlotte County got the worst of the surge. But Tampa and areas like that got heavy, heavy rainfall. So flood emergencies ongoing. I know search and rescue's out there right now, obviously. But 130 tornado warnings yesterday afternoon just because of Milton. So a lot of things across the entire state. It wasn't just focused on Tampa or that West Coast. It's also into the East Coast. They're actually seeing surge right now as well as that hurricane takes off into the Atlantic. It's throwing about 3 to 5 feet off towards Daytona Beach this morning. So things are calming down. Prayers for them. Here for us, we've got a high pressure system and a warm front incoming. So nothing but sunshine here. Low to mid 70s today. Winds start to get feisty tomorrow out of the south, warming us up. We're going to hit those mid 70s far north and low 80s far south tomorrow. So a massive warm up. Way, way, way too warm for October. We should be near 60 degrees, not 80. So feeling like summer. And then Saturday, a cold front moves through. So we are going to be dropping temperatures by Saturday into the 60s. Rain moves in Saturday night and through Sunday, and then our highs are going to be in the low 50s to near 60 degrees on Sunday, and all of us, the entire state, in the low to mid 50s by Monday. And I'm telling you, a hard freeze is around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Again, bundle them up at the bus stop here. And is it unusual? I don't know. Rob says that on October 10th, 1990, central Wisconsin was hit with a snowstorm, Wausau getting 9.6 inches of snow. And Rob remembers a lot of power outages because there were leaves still on the trees. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear in 32. Yesterday going to Shawano, he said the trees are really changing along Highway 29, and I can testify it's a beautiful drive. And he remembered Garth Brooks performing at the Shawano County Fair.
Oh, and Garth Brooks.
I know. Wait, remember way back when they were unknowns? It was around that same time we saw Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. at Country Jam in Eau Claire. And again, both and Alan Jackson too. They were all kind of in their, you know, very early years. And you're looking at it all going, these guys are really good. And you know, I wonder if they're gonna last. The answer was yes. Yes, they did. It's always nice when you can see somebody and you can actually look back and go, oh, yeah, I saw them win, and my instincts were right.
I saw Brad Paisley at the Waukesha County Fair open up like a country concert. It was like six artists, and he was the first guy at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's just so crazy now because then there's entourages and everything. And I can't forget, Alicia posted earlier, I don't think my mornings could be complete without Greg.
Oh, I agree.
Stop it. Just
look at that.
Guys. I can't have
everybody's got their fan club. One more quick weather-related story. As we were driving out here to Western Michigan, we heard sirens, and suddenly we were passed by a brush buggy, which is basically, you know, a Jeep with some rigging on the back, a tank to put out grass fires, and then another, and then a fire engine. And a few miles down the road, we found out what it was that somebody in the middle of a dry, grassy field had a fire ring, and they were just looking to have a little campfire.
Yeah.
The fire ring looked to be one of those 3 or 4 feet in diameter. I thought it was a bonfire at first. Like, why are you lighting a bonfire? Because this thing was like, you know, 12 feet in diameter at this point. But that's when you saw the ring and you realized it was a campfire that got out of control because they set a fire up in a dry, grassy field. Don't do that, folks. There's no way. Yeah, you could have your little garden hose there, but that ain't going to get it done.
No, not at all. And especially with the winds picking up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Don't burn, guys. Don't do
burn. And you could see the people at the house, they looked so chagrined. You know, they're just like, yeah, you're in trouble. Ooh. You are in trouble.
You're going to get grounded.
Could you imagine being that person, though, that lit that fire, flicked that cigarette?
You know, and it was, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 feet away from their house, but it could have easily gone the other way. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
All right. Don't do it, folks. Brittany, take tomorrow off, okay, on us, and we'll have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
Okay. Wait, do I get the weekend off too? What?
Nope. Sorry. You and I are here. We got to work for it. 7:13 right now. Not a lot to tell you from the sports world, unless we want to again, you know, have fun at Jesse Winker's expense, the former Brewer who now says he hates Milwaukee, and a lot of folks now running $1.99 specials in honor of his batting average while he was with the Brewers. But other than that, I could tell you more, and I will tell you more when Luke Mathers is here, about the Badger football game and the Packer game and the stations on Civic Media where you can hear them. That's coming up a little later on this hour. But to the conversation now, let's join Trisha Zunker. She's going to talk to us about Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day, the powwow, and other events that are going on in conjunction with the holiday. Trisha Zunker, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat. Good morning. I'm great. How are you this morning?
Very good. Nice to have you here. I appreciated the fact that as Indigenous Peoples Day approaches and more workplaces are treating it as a true holiday. For example, our parent company, Courier Newsroom, will be closed on Monday for it. You know, Columbus Day, such as it was one of those, you know, I mean, we're not even sure why it's there. And before any Italian Americans, you know, ring us up, it's like, no, that's not what we're talking about here. You understand why we're now talking about Indigenous Peoples Day during this time of year instead. And tell us more about the roots of Indigenous Peoples Day and you know, the celebration that it is.
Well, as you point out, Columbus Day, it is the holiday that was largely recognized, which is very painful for Indigenous people because of the attempted genocide of Indigenous people, of the stealing of land and removals, forced removals, and, you know, subsequent, after Indigenous people continue to survive, the attempted assimilation and all of the things that have happened, and yet our people are still here. We are still in society, but there's a lot of people that don't realize that Indigenous people still exist, that we have our tribal nations have their own sovereignty, their own government, their own language, their customs. And so that's really the genesis of Indigenous Peoples Day, is kind of a pushback against that erasure that Columbus Day promotes, and that painfulness. And it is a celebration of the fact that we are still here.
Yeah, it's kind of in that vein of when we used to say, you know, in the history books that so-and-so discovered something. When they didn't discover it, they were the first Europeans to visit that particular area. It reminds me of a saying that we have to stop in this country teaching slavery as the history of Black people and start teaching slavery as the history of white people. And you'll have a better perspective on, you know, what was done versus what could have been done in a different time with, you know, different standards and morals and everything that comes along with it. So having set up the historical perspective on this, let's talk a bit about current day events and some of the issues as well. So before we have a commercial break in the middle of this, I want to at least touch on the powwow and other activities that are happening. Can you give us a quick overview? And then after the commercial, we'll go into more details.
Sure, absolutely. So the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day Powwow and Native American Art Market is this Saturday and Sunday, October 12th and 13th, in Rothschild, Wisconsin, at the Expo Center, 10101 Market Street in Rothschild. Grand entry is at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. For anyone who's going to make the effort to come to the powwow, I do encourage you to attend a grand entry if you can. It's when all the dancers process in. It's truly a beautiful sight. It is free and open to the public. The other aspect is the art market. That part opens at 10 a.m. and we have nearly 50 indigenous vendors between art market and or craft vendors and food vendors. And they are representing 19 indigenous nations. So I really encourage people to come out and shop and support our native businesses. But those are the events, and it's going to be a really incredible weekend. We used to have a powwow here when I was growing up, and that kind of went away. And then when I returned back home, worked on getting Indigenous Peoples Day recognized locally, the next logical step was truly forming this nonprofit to bring a powwow here, which could only happen through the support of our sponsors and community partners. But this is the fourth one, and it's still in its infancy, but we have had a fantastic turnout, and I expect the same this weekend.
That's wonderful. And we're going to talk a bit on the other side of this break more about the story behind powwows and, you know, just what to expect and a sense of inclusion that folks should feel because it is open to the public. So we'll have more about that with Tricia Zunker coming up in just a bit. Now Brittany's not here anymore, but Rob did send from Tigerton a note that you three are the best. So Greg, we actually do have fans, you know, out there, not just Brittany, you know, we've got ours too.
We did it.
I know. And Rob offers up prayers to Florida as well. And a reminder, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Today, we have a focus on World Mental Health Day and feeling more free to talk about the kinds of things that cause us angst and cause Wisconsin to have the second highest suicide rate in the Midwest. And we shouldn't want that. We should be able to talk and to listen and to treat our mental health and be good to it. So sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. More with Tricia Zunker after this on Up North News Radio, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a tree out in the backyard that never has been broken by the wind.
Tanya Tucker has a birthday today. Hey, if you're looking to see who's running this fall for representing you in the Wisconsin legislature, maybe what district you're in under the new maps, you can check out Dan Schaefer's 2024 voting guide put together here with our friends at Civic Media. Just head to civicmedia.us. And look for Dan's voter guide there. And if you're also looking for more information on voting, you know, where to register, for example, what's on your ballot, things like that. We've got all that information for you over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click on voting guide in the top banner there. And let's make it a three-peat here of information. Head to myvote.wi.gov. And that would be the official site through the Wisconsin Elections Commission to even do things like register or have an absentee ballot sent to you. Again, myvote.wi.gov. Let's continue our conversation now with Tricia Zunker. We're talking about the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow coming up this weekend. And Tricia, can you tell us more about what visitors can expect? I mean, maybe even cover some do's and don'ts so that they not only feel welcome, but also adhere to any, you know, rules of the road when it comes to events like this.
Sure, absolutely. So the powwow is an event where there is Native American dancing, and there are different dance categories where you could see females dancing different styles, whether it's jingle or fancy dance or applique or traditional. And then the male dancers also have their style, woodland, traditional, fancy, grass dance. And to those of us that know, we can tell based on their regalia what type of dancer they are. Regalia is the word for their dance outfit, essentially. It is not a costume. Please do not call it a costume. Regalia is the correct terminology. It really means something to the dancer. They often bead it themselves. There might be something specific that means something to them, to their clan membership, for example. Somebody who might be, I don't know, Bear Clan might have a little bear claw somewhere on their regalia, just for example. Or there might be something that means something to them just from within their family. Maybe something that was passed down to them that they include in their regalia. There's different dance categories. And then there are also what we call intertribals. And that's where anybody can come out and dance. You do not have to be indigenous. You are welcome to join. I'm using the word dance a little loosely. It might be that you just kind of follow the people kind of walking in a rhythmic step, if you will, and don't feel insecure. Everybody's happy to have you out there and just try your best. So that's also an option. And then there are some certain special dances that might happen. Like, for example, the swan dance is a beautiful dance that female dancers do in regalia or not. Any of the ladies can get out and join it. The MCs will be providing educational background. We had a staff meeting earlier this week, and one of the aspects of this powwow is we really want to educate the greater community who might never have had a chance to attend a powwow, who want to learn a little bit about Indigenous culture. So our MCs will be making that effort to provide extra education throughout the weekend. I have found that this powwow is really kind of serves a few purposes. So the fact that we've been missing out on having an Indigenous event here in Marathon County for a while, it brings that event back for the greater community. But we also have a lot of Indigenous people that essentially descend on into the Wausau area for the weekend that otherwise don't have a reason to come to Wausau. So that's been really cool also to see a lot of folks come from states away. I mean, we had people as far as Oklahoma attend last year. It was great.
Wow, that is something. And I guess I'd also add maybe a personal aside is the goal hopefully is for people there to find the sweet spot when it comes to dancing between, well, there's it's one thing to emulate somebody. There's emulation and then there's mockery. And as you know, there's been a lot of mockery of powwows and referring to it as costumes and everything. And so it's not like everybody has to sit there with their hands in their lap the whole time, that there is a participation element. And again, just find that spot that's closer to emulation than mockery and appreciation of culture. And it's to that end that I wanted to ask you a bit about current events. Now, you're an associate justice for the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we aren't going to get into particulars here, but we can definitely talk about the standard of tribal sovereignty, you know, writ large, in having folks from two nations living both as neighbors and as, you know, coming from our various cultures. And so I just wanted to give you a moment or two to talk about another part of the notion of Indigenous Peoples Day is helping people understand, you know, where the respect is for that tribal sovereignty.
So thank you so much for this question. There's so much here. So let's just start with the fact that treaties have the same level of power as the U.S. Constitution. There is that same level of importance. We tend to think of the U.S. Constitution as being the highest level of, of legal authority, but actually treaties hold that same level. So there are a number of treaties that the tribes here in Wisconsin have with the federal government that must be upheld. And I grew up here, you know, in the 90s during the treaty wars and how ugly that got. And what it really comes down to is the lack of education. If people were truly educated on the fact that Indigenous nations retain their tribal sovereignty, the fact that treaties are the law of the land, then we wouldn't have this ugliness, which still exists to this very day. I mean, even a few summers ago, a friend of mine was shot at while exercising his usufructuary right. And, you know, of course, the individual said, oh, I thought it was a squirrel, blah, blah, blah. But who's shooting at a squirrel at 11:30 at night in the direction of these Native men? So it really goes to the fact that Act 31, which requires education on the Native nations in Wisconsin twice in the elementary years, once in high school, is not being met. So there is a greater issue here, but I think that's where it really starts, is let's educate everybody on the history and contemporary existence of Indigenous folks and the rights that we have as tribal nations. And I think that would really alleviate a lot of the problems today.
By the way, and that education is simply under the umbrella of get to know your neighbor, which is what a powwow like this is about as well. And to learn more, just Google up Central Wisconsin powwow, and many different sources have the information on there. Trisha Zunker, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for visiting and teaching us so much today.
Thank you.
All right, we'll have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, coming up on 7:35 on this Thursday morning. Time's ticking away here, 26 days until Election Day. And so not just on Thursdays, but you heard Jody Emerson the other day. Next Thursday, you're going to hear from Christian Phelps in the Eau Claire area. Just a continuing string of candidates who are going to be working hard and asking for your support for these big, important elections coming up on November 5th. But these Thursday 7:30 a.m. segments are all about our friends at Motherhood for Good and their Women Win Wisconsin segment. And so before we get to interviewing our guest, Jody Habersenikin, we say good morning, as always, to Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good. Kate, Nicole, how are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Okay. No, one big blur, Kate?
Okay. I was muted. Sorry.
That's okay. It's all one big blur though, isn't it, at this point?
Yes, it is. It is one big blur. We're just, you know, it's that final sprint.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, we would just urge people go to motherhoodforgood.com or Instagram, Motherhood for Good, to get all the latest info, all the latest videos that you're putting together. I was looking yesterday, and of course my memory fails me, but Kate, anything you want to say about the last video or two that you've been putting together? Because you've been like a little video workhorse.
I know. Well, I mean, gosh, I can't even remember what I put up last week. Sometimes it's just like quicker for me to get on and put a video up. I did put one up about the new polling for Senator Baldwin, of which I was like, I mean, I know we love Tammy, Wisconsin loves her, but it's a good humble reminder that we have to work for all the races, even the ones that are quote unquote usually safe here. So just wanted to let people know about that without freaking them out too much. And I know we have a lot coming up. Nicole, I think you have an event coming up in your area this weekend, right?
Yes, we do. In the Green Bay area, we have an event at Peyton Pottery in De Pere from 9 to 12 a.m. Just kind of a get out the vote, learn about candidates. We'll have donuts and coffee and juice and all kinds of crafts for the kids. So it's nice to get in touch and kind of just get connected with everybody locally.
Just making it a whole family affair, because frankly, any kind of civic engagement should be. Every one of them is a teaching opportunity for our families as well. All right. Well, as I've mentioned a few times here, one of the most closely watched state Senate races is in the northern areas north of Milwaukee. You're heading up toward Washington, Ozaukee County, and you're looking at an area that was represented, or parts of it had been represented by Republican Dewey Strobel for a long time. His district has now completely changed thanks to Fair Maps. It's a much more evenly split district based on voting history. And Jody Habersinikin joins us, the Democratic candidate for that seat. Jody, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, everyone.
So nice to have you here. I think we talked very early in your campaign about your decision to run. So I wanted to hear just a bit more, refresh folks on your own personal story. What took you to make the step to make a run for state Senate?
Well, thank you. And first of all, I feel honored to be in Nicole and Kate's presence. I've been following your activities and very admiring. So thank you for all you are doing. You are certainly making a difference. I'm hearing people from moms in the district, their engagement, and I feel really inspired. So thank you.
Sorry, Jody, you can only be vice president of the fan club.
I hear you.
Somebody that else.
So kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very real. Very real. Where the reason I'm running, to remind listeners who may have not heard me before, is that as a longtime environmental attorney and policy expert, I've been working for decades really to try to affect change and progress for Wisconsin, but it's always been across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion. And that really all stopped when the gerrymander set in and divisiveness and this hyper partisanship has set in, and it's really stopped Wisconsin on any progress in terms of our economy, our education, certainly has set us back for women's reproductive health care. And that's really why I'm leaning in once again.
And we appreciate that very much. And by the way, if folks want to learn more beyond this interview, one of our freelance reporters, Bonnie Fuller, has a very extensive write-up on Jody and on the race. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com and learn more about that. So, Jody, with the maps being redrawn and the district being like it is, and for other factors that we've covered in this segment before in terms of suburban voters who are changing their voting habits over time because of, you know, recent events and, I don't know, recent people, maybe. Tell me your sense of whether you feel like folks are staying engaged all the way through, or is it time to sound the alarm yet about folks maybe getting complacent about things out there?
I'm not sensing complacency at all in the district. What I'm seeing is just an enormous solidarity and outpouring of support. We've had over 30 plus meet and greets around the district over the last months. And we had one last night in Grafton. We had one last week in Port Washington. We're having more and more all over. And what this is a chance to meet with folks and really hear what they're coming from and their concerns and really mobilize them to allow them the information they need to get the word out and let folks that they know realize how important it is to vote for Wisconsin, to show up for Wisconsin. After these 13 years of a gerrymander, we finally have a chance for representation and we need to use it.
Yeah, and I'm curious what you're hearing as you're out there in those meet and greets. I know something that's passionate to me and people in my area here up in Green Bay, but reproductive freedom is huge. I'm imagining you're hearing a lot of the same. Can you talk a little bit about that and your view on that?
Absolutely. That is, gosh, at the doors, which we're doing a lot of. That is always in the top three issues that I talk to. And it's not just from women. It's interesting. I get a lot of doors where the men introduce themselves as dads of daughters and or husbands of wives who've gone through miscarriages and the like. And I'm hearing the same message, is they are not understanding why politicians are trying to inject themselves into these personal healthcare decisions of women and making things more difficult and more dangerous for Wisconsin women. And we all experienced that for that 15-month time period where we were having to leave the state for necessary care, and no one is interested in that returning again. And that's where legislative change has to happen. We need to reestablish certainty.
Absolutely. And I know, okay, so this 8th Senate District, I know you ran last time, and I think even when it was unfair maps, you came just within a couple hundred votes. And now, since the maps have changed, I think it's looking like you should even have a better shot now, which is amazing. So tell us a little bit about your district. I know it's like the North Shore Milwaukee area. So I know it's Ozaukee County, a little bit of Waukesha County. Is there some Milwaukee County in there too?
Yeah, there sure is. We have four counties. Okay. So we have Milwaukee County communities on the North Shore side from Whitefish Bay up all the way, if you take it to Ozaukee County, to Port Washington. So Whitefish Bay all the way up to Port Washington, and then west from Ozaukee County into Menominee Falls, which is Waukesha County, as well as Washington County. We have the community of Germantown. So it is a large district, and you are correct. These maps are more fair. The Republicans still have an advantage, as we see under the Marquette poll, but we are working very hard to meet them. And we believe we are right there, 50-50 with them, notwithstanding their advantage. And it's certainly better than it was under the old maps, where there was about a 12-point Republican advantage.
Yeah, and what we've seen, you know, these Milwaukee suburbs, it historically have been more red, and we've seen them the last few cycles and even over the last decade get bluer and bluer every time, especially Ozaukee County. That's one of those counties that all the pundits are always talking about is going bluer and bluer. And I think it has to do with, well, the policies that really are more bipartisan that Democrats support, and also probably a lot of young families too. And I'm sure, what else are you hearing at the doors or at these meet and greets when you're talking to folks in the area?
Yeah, I'm very much hearing that people understand the opportunity, and there is a lot of frustration over the divisiveness and the extremism that we've seen in Wisconsin over the last 10 years. I mean, Republicans have had their chance. They've had 10 plus years where they have had an opportunity to make progress for Wisconsin. But what we've seen is that they have not been successful. Our UW system is having difficulties and falling back. Our schools are experiencing shortfalls and teacher shortages and not enough resources in the classroom, as well as certainly for women's reproductive health concerns. We are very at a point where we need certainty for our doctors and our families, because we're not getting doctors to stay here in Wisconsin. And I'm hearing from doctors in every field, cardiology, dermatology, orthopedics, not just OBGYN folks, that they are having an impossible time recruiting doctors to move to Wisconsin for the very reason that we don't have certainty in our healthcare access.
Yeah, it is crazy how much one thing can grow and affect others. And to your point, they've had 10 plus years to do whatever they thought they were going to do. And it's clearly, if they haven't done it so far, I wanted to touch base on the UW system. I know that's something that you're very passionate about as well, and funding to the UW system and the effects of where it stands today. Could you share a little bit about your thoughts and feelings on that?
Absolutely. Our UW system, and I'm not just talking about the four-year colleges, the two-year colleges, and beyond, is really the lifeblood of Wisconsin's economy. All the data proves that. And we also know it, of course, intuitively. It is the best possible way to invest in our future, in our talent, in our young people. We hear always about this enormous return on investment for a UW degree, where people stay in Wisconsin, they contribute to our economy, they pay taxes, they have jobs, they raise their families here. We need them here. And there's enormous competition for talent around not just our region, but nationally. And the demographics are showing that Wisconsin is losing young people. Our population is declining and our population is aging. So it is important to keep a vital workforce here, talented folks, as well as to grow our economy. So we need to invest, just like a business. We need to make smart decisions to invest in our university system, not starve it, which is what has happened over the last 10 years. And we have seen the results of that.
Question on the economy here, because we just saw the new consumer price report came out, and inflation was at 2.4% for a 12-month period ending in September here. In other words, inflation continues to be tamed, getting milder and milder. Of course, you don't want to go backwards. You're, you know, 2.4% is practically a Goldilocks scenario here. But you still have people having trouble affording things like healthcare and childcare. And we've talked about the childcare crisis here a lot, that there are ideas that would help make childcare and healthcare and other things more affordable. And as you said, this legislature has been given every opportunity to make life easier for families, and they just haven't done it.
Absolutely. My opponent is Dewey Strobel. He has voted four times against supporting child care counts, which is an essential program to keep child care centers open and child care providers available to working families in Wisconsin. This affects us both at the family level and, of course, at the employer level, and largely economically. We have a legislature like my opponent who hangs on to this $3 billion plus surplus and is not even releasing funds to take care of the PFAS remediation and testing, which is $125 million they're sitting on, $15 million to fund Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin hospital system. And this is the one that really gets me, notwithstanding all his ads, how much he's praising the need for literacy and how he's a pro fan of literacy. He is, as vice chair of the Joint Finance Committee, is withholding $49 million of the $50 million approved by the legislature and the governor to get into the schools, literacy coaches, and the like. So it's this type of obstructionism and divisiveness which is really hurting Wisconsin. And the result, to answer your question, is that it's keeping money back from people at the right local level where they need it.
And we can't forget the other big one. When the opportunity came up to expand Medicaid coverage to postpartum care from 6 weeks to 12 months, it passed the Senate 32-1. He was the one vote against extending postpartum Medicaid coverage to women. Jody Habersynikin, thank you so much. Great to meet you again, and good luck on the campaign trail. Kate Nicole, motherhoodforgood.com. So great again to see you as always. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you all.
Luke Bye. Mathers is coming up next. You're up north. In honor of David Lee Roth turning 70 years old today, we thought Just a Gigolo would be the perfect walk-up music for Radio Gigolo. Luke Mathers, you pay him the right amount, he will say whatever you want to hear on the radio. Mr. Mathers, good morning. How are you?
I will see myself out.
I just meant you could adapt to any circumstance necessary.
Yeah. That's what you're getting at.
That's okay. That's exactly what I meant. All right. Well, let's get into it. This is perhaps the most divisive time of the year. There's conservatives versus liberals, Democrats versus Republicans, Jesse
Milwaukee
Winker against the world.
Yeah!
Yep. Exactly. But then I did not realize what Vice President Kamala Harris had triggered in terms of division in Wisconsin until that moment with Stephen Colbert, that they hoisted Miller High Lifes, which made Greg Bach very happy. Luke Mathers unloaded on social media and thinks that this decision might cost Kamala Harris the election.
All right. I'm pretty sure I was clear with my words. And Greg, you can help me out here.
Yeah.
All I expressed was my disappointment. Unloaded. Come on.
Oh, you didn't say she was going to lose the Electoral College vote? I mean, there could be one faithless elector from Wisconsin who, you know, changes a vote because they didn't go with your favorite, the PBR.
I hope that that's not the stakes of this. I thought it was great. Stephen Colbert has kind of put his foot in his mouth before when it comes to Milwaukee.
Yep. Yes,
so
he has.
I feel like he's being very careful with what he was doing. So when the vice president, as he alluded to on the show, he had to get it cleared. He clearly asked her what kind of beer she would prefer. She picked Miller High Life, which is a good choice. It's just not the best choice for a beer from Milwaukee.
And
if you really want the Milwaukee, the blue collar beer, you got to go for that award winning Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And I can testify to this because one of my earliest interactions with Luke Mathers was at a Brewers game when he was disappointed to find out we weren't planning to tailgate. We were planning to go right into the stadium and eat and drink in there because he'd brought along a six-pack of PBR. And I don't know that I've ever seen one can of PBR shotgun so fast because Mr. Mathers was not going to be denied the enjoyment of his favorite treat. When you like, you like what you
beer.
Like.
I had some cold beer before the Brewers game. I wasn't going to let the cold beer get warm. That's a big no-no when it comes to tailgates. So since we weren't tailgating, yeah, I took care of the cold beers. I believe you and the other co-workers we had helped me out with a couple of them, but I polished off a few before we walked to the gate.
I really, really wish I could tell. It's not my story that I did, but it's what I witnessed at a Brewers game regarding High Life, having you get in the game, and deciding that, well, we bought the 12-pack. We might as well kill the 12-pack on the way to the stadium. And then
hasn't had that, though?
Yeah, but the consequences therein, and it wasn't about being like, you know, all of a sudden my friend was really drunk. It was all of a sudden my friend's like, this was a bad idea.
Poor decisions were made. Poor decisions were made.
That I thought was going to get us either thrown out or arrested. So I just, for me, my money, that's, you know, I agree, Luke. I feel like Pat has oversold this.
I'm looking for a debate here. Greg, you have 1 minute for rebuttal. Tell Luke how terrible his choice is.
My God.
See, again, you're just not letting me stir the pot here at all. You two are being so diplomatic
it's going to be the Midwest congeniality.
Midwest. I'm going to squeeze right past you here with my High Life. You know?
We saw it at the VP debate last week.
Exactly.
It's going to be, hey, man, I know you like that garbage water PBR, but I bought you a six pack. There you go. I'll take up my High Life. So, the thing is, PBR or High Life, fine. The thing that still to this day gets my goat, like, burns my grits is when Danny Baldwin went on Seth Meyers and drank Spotted Cow.
That's not that bad. Why? What's wrong with a Spotted Cow?
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
It's a perfectly mediocre beer.
Oh my goodness!
That's a little bit more highbrow Wisconsin. Couple Spotted Cows with the fish fry or when you're celebrating at weddings, stuff like that. But if you just want the working class, like the I'm mowing the lawn right now and I'm thirsty, but I don't want some water, or I'm gonna have a couple of these before I go watch the Brewers. That's PBR or High Life all the way.
All right, you've all had your fun. Everybody trying to be second place to Line and Kugels over here, but we've got to move on.
Liney's original is pretty good in that column too, though. I could go for Liney's original when I'm on the line.
Look at us all being all diplomatic. We're just all so
there's
nice.
There's no bad choices from Wisconsin beer.
Of course not. Of course not. All right, let's talk what you can hear on Civic Media here in terms of sports this weekend. You got the Badger football game. They are at Rutgers this Saturday. The 11 o'clock is the game. So Luke is
9 a.m. broadcast start. Yeah.
Okay. WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Rapids, WRJN Racine Kenosha, WRC in Richland Center. Packers are at home Sunday, 12 noon against the Arizona Cardinals. You can hear that game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine Kenosha. But Luke, the thing I want to talk about here is Badger men's hockey. WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, you can hear them officially start the season tomorrow and Saturday. The Badger men ranked 10th in the nation, and Civic Media has got an outlet for that.
Yep. So if you're up in the Wisconsin Rapids area and WFHR or on the Civic Media app, you can check out the game. It's going to be good. It's a shame the Brewers season has come to an end. I'm still mourning that, but we've got a lot of exciting aspects still going on across the network. Those professional games that you just noted, Pat, mm-hmm. as well as local high school sports in so many markets across the state. So you can download the Civic Media app as well to stay up to date with what's going on in your community when it comes to local high school sports. The Perfect. Badgers, we're gonna have some basketball kicking off, and it's gonna be great. It's a great time. So there's so much going on. You can stay informed and entertained right here on Civic Media.
And tomorrow in this segment, when we talk more about sports with Dan Schumacher, we'll talk about the Badger women's volleyball team, 9th ranked in the nation, and the Badger women's hockey team, ranked number 1 in the nation. What a time to be a Wisconsinite. A great day to be a Wisconsinite, as Todd Alba would say. Thank you, Luke Mathers.
Always a pleasure, Pat.
Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.